This whole week, we've been glorifying Christ through preaching and teaching at our conference. And so it might seem odd, or it might seem like we're shifting gears tonight to honor a specific man. But the way I understand what we're doing tonight is we're really moving from glorifying Christ through preaching and teaching to glorifying Christ by thanking him for the service of one of his faithful servants. And that's Dr. Joseph Pipa. And so tonight's focus is not so much on Dr. Pipa, but is on the Lord Jesus Christ as we thank him for bringing Dr. Pipa to the seminary and for all that he has done through Dr. Pipa and the rest of the faculty and our board over the last 20 years during Dr. Pipa's tenure. There is a short biography of Dr. Pipa on the back of the program. You're welcome to look at that at your leisure. Please take these home with you if you'd like. I think it's accurate. Dr. Pipa said it looked good. I don't know if he actually read it, but I'm pretty sure it's accurate. Before I welcome up to the front Pastor Hamilton, I wanted to point out or make known to you all that Dr. Chad Van Dixhorn of Reformed Theological Seminary is here with us tonight. But no, he's still with Reformed, though he is going to be teaching at Westminster in the fall, and he brings greetings from both institutions. Come on up, Dr. Van Dixhorn.
Well, with all of you, I find it a real pleasure and joy to be here tonight to remember the Lord's faithfulness to his church, not just to the seminary, but to the wider church, as we think about the ministry of Dr. Joey Pipa, and as we think about the wonderful woman who's behind him and an encouragement to him. We're celebrating Sissy tonight, too. Dr. Peter Lilbeck, when he heard about this celebration, and he heard that they were actually going to let me come, said they'd love to pay for me to come and fly down and just greet Joey on behalf of Westminster. We're so thankful for the warm relations between the seminaries. I hear there's been a couple ambassadors already this week, and so that's encouraging. And then when RTS heard I was coming, the president there said, let me send my greetings and congratulations also. So Dr. Scott Redd at RTS. What was that?
Well, they didn't have to pay for it.
They didn't have to pay for it, yeah. See, there's the financial prudence of another institution. Yes. So our hearty congratulations, our deep thanks. I just want to mention one specific thing, and that is that seminaries can often be the formers of cliques and subgroups within denominations. And I think that Dr. Pipa has really been exemplary in the way in which he's forming connections between seminaries and emphasizing friendships that he has with people at other institutions. And it's just it's a real encouragement and a great example for us all. So thank you.
This evening we're going to have a series of reflections from some of our esteemed guests tonight, and it is my privilege to welcome up to the front Pastor Ian Hamilton. And Pastor Hamilton, or Dr. Hamilton, as we affectionately refer to him here at the seminary, is an adjunct professor of practical theology. He teaches a Reformed pastor course each winter, which is a highlight of the fourth year students' curriculum, and he's also a trustee on the board of the seminary. Dr. Hamilton, please come up.
I normally take my watch off, but I'm not going to do so this evening. It was a little over 20 years ago, and I think I was in Brazil when someone said to me, "Have you heard the news?" I said, "What news is that?" Joey Pipa is going to be president of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. I'd never heard of Joey Pipa. And I'd never heard of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. So I smiled. When I came back to Scotland, I was chatting to Sinclair Ferguson one day, and I said, "Oh, have you heard the news?" A fellow called Joey Pipa is going to Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary as its new president. And Sinclair looked at me with one of his looks and says, "Wow. That's going to shake things up." I had no idea what he meant then, but I know what he meant now. It's a vast pleasure for me to be here this evening. Joey and I, if I don't call him Dr. Pipe, it's not out of any disrespect, but we've been friends now for upwards of 17 years. He's been not only a friend, an encourager. He generously invites me regularly to speak at the conference. The accent is what does it. Joey Piper is many things. He's the president of a seminary. He's a theological teacher. He's a pastor. He's a scholar. He's an author. He's a mentor. He's a would-be golfer. And the emphasis is on the would-be rather than the golfer. But if you want to know Joey Piper, you need to know two things about him. He's a sinner saved by grace, and he's a pilgrim traveling from this world to a better world. When I was reflecting on what I might say this evening, a number of things, too many to mention, came to mind, but there were five or six things that I simply wanted to mention in passing that have impressed me over the years of our friendship. First of all, he's a man who loves his Savior. Yes, he's a reformed Christian. He's committed to the theology and the pastoral reality undergirding that theology of the Westminster Standards. That's right and good and proper. But before he is anything, he is a blood-redeemed Christian who loves his Savior. And that's one of the hallmarks of the theology taught at Greenville. Yes, there is a concern rightly to educate and well-furnish the minds of the students, but a well-furnished mind without a heart love to the Lord Jesus Christ is barrenness that will ultimately lead to atheism. Heart love for the Savior. Secondly, heart love for Sissy. Now, it's not hard to love Sissy. She is the better part of the whole. There may be in this world a more hospitable couple, though I doubt it. Many of you here tonight, like myself, my wife Joan, who's unable to be here through illness, have experienced hospitality that is, and I use the word, I think, advisedly, breathtaking. I've never known a couple who so opened their home, their hearts, their generosity, not just to people they know well and like, but to all kinds of people. Their house always seems to be filled with people. And that's one of the marks of a Christian, and it's one of the prized marks of a Christian who's been set apart by God to be a theological mentor and director in the lives of others. Hospitality is a sine qua non of Christian leadership, and Joey and Sissy together exemplify it in spades. He loves his Savior, he loves his wife, and that's a delight to see. He loves his students. He's there to teach them, to instruct them, to encourage them, to challenge them, and when necessary, to rebuke them. But I would be astonished if there were a student these past 20 years who didn't know that he was loved by the president of the seminary. He has a heart concern for the students that is palpable. Yes, he wants them to be men who have been shaped and styled by orthodox creedal theology and piety, but he wants them to know that they are men who are loved and who will enter the ministry knowing that they are loved by those who have sought to teach them. And that is a great thing. Please God, Greenville will never lose that note. Fifthly, Joey's a man who knows a lot of stuff. My two girls use that word. It's not a word I would normally use, but I couldn't think of a Latin equivalent. My students in Edinburgh, where I teach, had two complaints. Well, they were quite kind to me, but the two complaints were, Dr. Hamilton expects us to read too much, to which my faculty response was, get a life. And the second was, he doesn't always translate the Latin, to which I replied, I always do, but you don't always listen. But Joey knows a lot of stuff. He reads widely, he's written widely, but here's the one thing I want to mention. Never once, and I can say this with a clear conscience before God, I believe, never once in 17 years has he ever tried to impress me. Never once has he tried to say, you know what I've written, or do you know what I've read. I think that is a mark of a man that God can use. Never once, and that struck me thinking about it this past week. He knows a lot of stuff, but he holds that knowledge lightly and doesn't hold it out dramatically. Number five, he's gentle but threatening. He's a bit like Aslan. Lucy says to, is it the beaver, Aslan, is he safe? Of course he's not safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you. About 15, 16 years ago, a very dear friend of mine called John Marshall, who's now in glory, I'd come to Cambridge, and he was a wonderful encouragement to me. Joey knew John Marshall. And I said to John one day, you know, John, I'm so glad you're my friend. If you were my enemy, you'd scare me to death. And I think Joey Piper's like that. I'm so glad he's my friend, because if he wasn't my friend, I think I would tremble somewhat. But you know, he's gentle to the bruised and to the broken. Fierce in the face of the enemies of the gospel, both within the church and without, rightly so. But gentle and unthreatening to those who need the balm of Jesus Christ. And the last thing that struck me was how committed Joey has been, not just to Greenville, to the PCA, to the church in America, but to the wider church. I'm a minister in the Evangelical Presbyterian Church in England and Wales, tiny little denomination that's grown from 5 to maybe 20 congregations now, and committed to church planting. Two of our men studied at Greenville, and Joey's been a wonderful encouragement over many, many years to a little one-horse outfit from one perspective. And he has poured encouragement, time, money, and his own talents into coming, teaching, ministering in our congregations. And he's held in the highest regard beyond these shores. And his commitment to the wider Church of Jesus Christ is something that is a true mark of Reformed Christians. Godly Catholicity was one of the hallmarks of John Calvin. And I see that in Joey. And like Calvin, Joey's understood that he only wanted to be a better theologian so that he might be a better pastor. And so we're here, yes, rightly to honour this faithful servant of God, but Joey would be the first to say, please don't finish with me. So I won't. Everything Joey Piper is, he is by the grace of God. He's got nothing to boast about. Absolutely nothing. And so tonight we are here to say, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto your name be the glory, because that's the one place where the glory truly belongs. Joey, a privilege to be your friend, a privilege to be a colleague, and a privilege to be here to speak, not just on my own behalf, but I know on behalf of all who are here this evening. May the Lord keep you faithful, and may you never presume upon his grace, but every day know that by grace alone you stand.
The next man that I have the privilege of welcoming up to the front is Pastor Ari Van Eyck. He's the pastor of the OPC Church in Greensboro, North Carolina, Providence OPC, the Orthodox Presbyterian congregation there. He is a graduate of Greenville Seminary, graduated in 2003, just a few short years after Dr. Pipa arrived here in Greenville. In fact, he may be one of the first graduates who began with Dr. Pipa as president. Ari, come on up, brother.
Oh, I was just confused. Bernie and I used to have a business together in Canada, and we used to call each other George. And the gentleman was standing at the patio door, and he said, "I'm confused." He says, "You think you can help me out?" And we said to him, "Sure. What's the problem?" He says, "You're calling each other George." He said, "Why do you do that?" And we said, "Well, that way we don't get confused." Just over 24 years ago, a friend of my wife and me asked if we wanted to go out on a double date. How nice. We said, "Sure." And then we said to him, "Where?" He said, "To the Reformed Believers Conference on Biblical Piety." Well, initially I thought we should have asked where first before agreeing. Though the venue of the date was, well, interesting, it was not disappointing. It was Friday evening, March 4, 1994. When we entered the sanctuary filled to capacity in what is now known as Trinity United Reformed Church in St. Catharines, Ontario, close to the Niagara Falls. We sung a couple songs. The speaker was introduced as Dr. Joseph Pipa from Westminster, California. And rather than going up to the pulpit, which was quite far from the audience, Dr. Pipa preached extemporaneously from the lower platform on a text forever etched in my mind. "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart." Psalm 37, 3 and 4. From the beginning, it was obvious that this man loved Christ Jesus. And he wanted his audience to love the Lord our God, to delight in him and love him. With clear exegesis, he unpacked the text. And with passionate rhetoric, he persuaded us to be done with our love affairs with the idols of this world and of the idols of our hearts. I think this is a direct quote. I think it might be close. He said, "They are all trinkets which will perish." And then he earnestly directed us instead to the beauty and loveliness of our covenant Lord and Savior, who never disappoints, but rather gives us the desires of our hearts, that he works in us, those who put their trust in him. I hoped that night would never end, so that we can continue to bask in the presence of our loving and tender God. A single thought remained with me that evening. If I was ever privileged to be called to the gospel ministry, I wanted to preach the glories of Christ Jesus like this man. Convincingly, warmly, passionately exalting our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The next day, Dr. Pipa taught on the pastoral ministry and particularly on the works of Richard Baxter, the 17th century English Puritan, and his philosophy of practical ministry, which he wrote of in the book, The Reformed Pastor. A single thought remained with me after that day as well. If I was ever privileged to be called a pastor, I desire to shepherd the sheep of Christ's fold like Richard Baxter, with diligence and with earnest love for the sheep. Such was the powerful influence of Dr. Pipel on that very first occasion that I met him. What a wonderful introduction to his life of preaching and pastoring and serving the Church of Jesus Christ. It was contagious, exhilarating, refreshing. This man really did love the gospel ministry. What an impression for a young man. And that first introduction had lasting influence on my life. Little did I know that 5.5 years later, my elders would send me down to Greenville to be further trained under this man of God. Another beautiful thing about Dr. Pipel is his ability to make friends and to make you feel like you're part of his family, as if you were his son or brother. I suppose that's why many of you are here this night, to honor our friend Dr. Pipel. We are his friends. That's why. I was reminded recently in preaching on the prologue of John's Gospel that through Jesus Christ, the Father has given us the right to become his children. Dr. Pipel, like our Heavenly Father, has graciously welcomed us. He has loved us, and he has brought us into his family. He warmly calls his students sons. And after graduation, he has encouraged many of us to call him Joey. Others will always call him Dr. P. But for all of us, he's much, much, much more than our professor. Dr. Pipel is our father, our brother, our friend. Not only is Dr. Pipel a mentor in terms of the gospel ministry and a beloved friend, he also taught me how to enjoy all of life as a gift from God. That is to say, he has a zest for living, which is most attractive. He appreciates all the good things of this life and of God's creation: culture, arts, literature, sports, hunting, fishing, food, wine, etc. The wise man in Ecclesiastes 2 declares, "Nothing is better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw was from the hand of God. For who can eat, or who can have enjoyment more than I? For God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good or upright in his sight." Dr. Pipel has wonderfully exemplified this truth in his life. Far from being an ivory tower theologian, he receives God's good gifts with thanksgiving, and he enjoys the pleasures of this world. And he has taught me to enjoy the pleasures of this world as a means of glorifying our Creator, Jesus Christ, and appreciate the work and activity of the Holy Spirit in all aspects of the Father's creation. Like most of you, there are many other things I could speak about in reflecting on the man that we honor this evening: his zeal for true, faithful worship, his love for the advancement of Christ's kingdom here and throughout the world, his churchmanship, a life most gladly spent for the gospel ministry. But these are a few personal reflections on how God has used Dr. Piper to influence my life and ministry, for which I will be eternally grateful. Praise be to our God.
Thank you, George. I really appreciate that. Sorry. Before I welcome our next speaker up to the front, I do have a tribute to read that was sent to us from Brazil. It's from people who have been deeply, deeply influenced by Dr. Piper's teaching and preaching and focus on worldwide missions and evangelization. Today is a time of celebration, gratefulness, and joy in the Lord, a time to remember God's sovereignty, his faithfulness, and his providence throughout history. It is a time to think about our union with Christ and the privileges of the saints' fellowship. The Puritan Project, which has composed this tribute, began in 1992 with the purpose of teaching and spreading the faith and Puritan Reformed Orthodoxy in Brazil without forgetting orthopraxy, revival. With this purpose, for about 27 years, it has held a national event with speakers from Brazil and abroad. In 1993, we had our first symposium, the Puritans, which brought great encouragement to us. But the following year, 1994, by the grace and providence of God, something remarkable happened. Elder Olin Coleman, a PCA missionary and admirer of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary and one of the founders of the Puritan Project in Brazil, invited Dr. Joseph Piper as a speaker. His presence, his messages, his knowledge, and intrepidity were tremendous. Dr. Piper's ministry at that conference began a relationship of love that lasts until today. About seven times, Dr. Piper has spoken at the conferences promoted by the Puritan Project, becoming our greatest supporter. Today, Dr. Piper is loved and admired by the seniors, young people, and children of northern and northeastern Brazil. His wife, Miss Sissy, who accompanied him, has the admiration of women from several Presbyterian churches in Brazil. Through Dr. Piper's influence, other professors from Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary, such as Dr. Morton H. Smith, Dr. L. Anthony Curto, Dr. George W. Knight III, Dr. Benjamin Shaw, Dr. C. N. Wilborn, and Dr. Ryan M. McGraw have come to Brazil to take part in this great awakening of the Reformed faith. Through his influence, about 10 young Brazilians have attended Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary to seek a robust, vital, and passionate theological foundation. These men are excellent pastors and great preachers. Even now, others already look for the possibility of graduating and returning with the same qualification and the same objective. To God be all the glory. He is a witness of our heartfelt affection and our sincere gratitude to Dr. Piper and to the Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary Board that still supports our work for God's glory and for the expansion of his kingdom. Thanks to Dr. Piper's ministry, we are today more knowledgeable of the word, more Presbyterian, more motivated, and more challenged in our Christian life. Thank you, Dr. Piper. You are part of our history. Praise be our God. This is our tribute to you. And they cite Proverbs 22, verse 1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. In Christ, the Puritan Project. And these brothers who composed this tribute are part of a denomination of about 3 million members in Brazil, or 2 million members, 2 or 3 million members in the Presbyterian Church of Brazil. And there has been a significant awakening of interest in the Reformed faith and commitment to the standards, and also the sporting of bow ties at this particular conference. Many pictures and videos of Dr. Piper with these men. It is my privilege now to welcome to the front the chairman of our board of trustees, Pastor Jeffrey Kingswood. He is a pastor of Grace ARP in Woodstock, Ontario. I hope you're noting the ecumenical bent of our speaker selection tonight as well.
Brothers and sisters, it is indeed a pleasure to come here in your midst to celebrate this evening, to come together and give thanks to the Lord for the ministry of Dr. Piper. Several of us were speaking today about his legacy. And one of the legacies that we mentioned that he will leave behind is his work among the members of the Board of Trustees. The board has grown and matured under his direction. We have gone from being, I think, guided by him to being more self-directed. We've gone from wondering what an unusual school for unusual times really meant to a statement of purpose that you probably noticed in some of the material that was included in your packets. Last year we adopted this statement: equipping preachers, pastors, and churchmen for Christ's kingdom. That seems like a huge calling, to find men and equip them in those three areas. Some schools do an excellent job at one, some at two, but three of those in the candidates that we're preparing for ministry seems ambitious, to say the least. But we have been blessed by God to have a chairman or a president who embodies those characteristics, who models them, who teaches them, and who shows the students that these are not optional characteristics, but that they together are the marks of a man who is to be useful in building the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Testimony has already been paid to Joey's ability as a preacher. Most of us have sat under his ministry at one point or another, at many points, and been blessed. His work as a pastor has been testified to by Ari, a pastor to the students, to the faculty, and to the board members. He knows the names of the students' children. He brings candy to chapel to bless them and encourage them. He graciously inquires after needs, concerns, prayer requests. He's a pastor of pastors. And he's a churchman in an era where that sometimes is a neglected quality. Dr. Piper has demonstrated what it is to be a churchman. I think there are elements of the PCA that tremble when he approaches the microphone. They know that he's done his homework. They know that he understands the principles of the governance of the church. They know that he's an able theologian. And that these things together are mighty tools in a man who is a Mr. Valiant for Truth. We have been tremendously blessed, all of us here, and as a board of trustees, and as an institution, we have been tremendously blessed by the Lord that for this last 20 years, this man has been leading us, guiding and directing. He has led the board to a place where we are looking to the future with hope, with anticipation, with real optimism that the Lord is doing a great work here at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. We're thankful for your support. And we pray that you would join with us in prayer for the future, that you would continue to support us with your gifts, but tonight that you would join us in giving thanks to the Lord for a man who certainly will go down in history as one of the most able pastors, preachers, and churchmen of our age. I don't think that's an exaggeration. It's a delight to call him a friend. And I think we all together here this evening rejoice at this opportunity to tell him how much we think of him and appreciate his work and are so thankful for the way in which he has modeled these characteristics to men who are being trained for future ministry. His mark will not just be in history books, but in congregations all over North America, Africa, South America, Europe. Men who have been mentored, as Timothy was mentored by the Apostle Paul, who have gone forth to be pastors, preachers, and churchmen, encouraged by the example set by their mentor. Join me in giving thanks to the Lord for this great gift. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we know that at best all of us are but unworthy servants, but we rejoice at the work that you have done and are doing in our brother Joseph Piper. And we pray, Lord, that you would continue to bless him, to be a blessing to your church. We give thanks to you and rejoice that in our time of need you have sent such a man to us. Lord, we ask that you would sustain and strengthen him for the work that yet remains. And we pray it in our great Savior's name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank all of you for coming. You know, I've said this a couple of times at the inauguration 20 years ago, which was actually this month, that this is a lot better than a funeral because I wouldn't get to see all of you. But this is a little bit of what heaven's going to be like, isn't it? And I often like to think about, you know, Southerners love to tell stories. And what are we going to do in heaven? One of the things we're going to do in heaven is the stories about God's providence. And I look around this room tonight, and wheels within wheels within wheels. It's glorious. And then all the other ones that we don't even realize that we have intertwined with. And we're going to sit around and tell stories that all honor the Lord. And so it's great. Friendship is a wonderful gift of God. And it's great to have so many friends here. I have made it into a history book. It's probably the only one, Jeff, but there's a recent book that actually mentions me at another place, and I was a great problem because I was a traditionalist and confessional. And I said, that's a great compliment. It was not meant that way. But I think Zach should get that out of that book and quote it. It's been a remarkable privilege and act of God's grace to let me serve him and you all at Greenville Seminary. And I, one of the things that Thomas Boston and John Flavel mentioned in their works on providence is that we should often look back to our lives, again, those providential unfoldings. And one of the things I'm very certain of tonight is how the Lord, in so many steps of the way that I can even see now, prepared me to come to Greenville Seminary. I had been mentoring men. One of them's here tonight, Stephen Fairfield. We eventually had interns, and I was very keen on wanting to mentor men as a pastor and a preacher. And then when I went to teach in California, I had to do academic administration, of which I was completely ignorant. But 7.5 years later, when I received the call from the board of Greenville Seminary, I couldn't have done it without that, and that's one of the main things the seminary needed at that point, was to begin to put together a platform for academic administration. And so, in so many ways, I know the Lord has brought me here, as I reflect often in my life about sins of youth and of middle age and old age, and I think of the psalmist saying, I stumbled but did not fall. And that's God's grace. Too many times. I'm very thankful for the faculty. One of the things that I shared with a much smaller faculty in those days was the collegiality. Elsewhere, if I had a project to do or something to work on or a question, I couldn't go into a room and get any kind near a unified answer. Whereas here, we'll have minor differences of opinion on fairly minor issues, such as the covenant of redemption, but maybe millennialism. But from day one, with Ben and Sid, Dr. Singer and Dr. Smith, it was just it was so refreshing, so different. And that only has increased. And so as God has added to our number, to be able to work with these like-minded men is a great blessing. And they're the men that make Greenville Seminary. And then the staff. I had to command Brenda to sit down and enjoy her supper, because all she was wanting to do was serve people. And they're all that way. And so they work sacrificially. They carry a lot of extra load because of our commitment to keeping this education very inexpensive for our students. And they are tremendous. I don't know anybody that really doesn't go far beyond what their job description is. Mr. Van Voris, you want me to stop? You want the microphone, sir.
Search committee, when we were looking for our president, and it was Dr. Knight, in my recollection, was the key person in getting Dr. Piper to be our president. So I hope you all will keep that in mind.
It was actually more than identifying me. It was the fact that he was the one, and I knew he was here because he understood some of the things that needed to happen. So I was getting ready to go to the board, so you just read my mind. And one of the things I learned as a young pastor after finishing at another seminary that Dr. Smith had been instrumental in starting was the board never had his vision. And because the board never had his vision, there was, again, a lack of a commitment to an experimental Calvinism. So when I came here, well aware that we had to have a board that had this biblical vision. And I think early on you had a board that was committed to Dr. Smith, and he was an easy man to be committed to. But knowing that, I had this goal. I was very straightforward about it, that we needed a board that had the vision. And then, and it was probably maybe, well, I think it was through that late unpleasantness. We have a board now that has taken ownership. Jeff alluded to that. But that is what is so good about the future of the seminary in God's grace. Men are indispensable. That's the right word? Indispensable. No, dispensable. Whatever. I'm not indispensable. That's what I mean to say. But a group of men now that have the vision and are hands-on, and I don't know a seminary. I have a little bit of acquaintance, not with all of them, but that has a board now that is so hands-on, and that is so good. And again, if you think about, you know, supporting the seminary and what's going to happen, by God's grace, there is a footing now that is going to see us not just continue where we are, but to continue to improve. And so pray for them. But they are doing a wonderful job. And I think that that is just, it's very, very encouraging to me. We are in the process of trying to, we're in the process of transition. I guess it happened a little more quickly. Somebody brought to my attention that I'm to say thank you and farewell. And at this time, if I had Bilbo's ring, that'd be great. But Lord willing, in the next 4 years, we will have accomplished a transition. I would hope to, they hope that I would be mentoring, maybe taking some other position, but to have that next president who will go beyond where we are now and continue. But in God's grace, we've got a group of men, both on the faculty and on the board, that are committed to this happening. And that is, that's glorious. And Jeff kind of alluded to it, but pray for this process, that God will bring that man. Now, what it's very ironic, I couldn't quite get the math straight earlier, but when the seminary came to me 20 years ago, it was because Dr. Smith's age, and they wanted to be sure that they had something for the future. And I'm thinking now, I'm older than he was when they came to me. But also I'm very blessed by God's grace. I really still feel quite young, but I told him one day, I said, I sit with you, I hang out with students, I can never get old. So, and the Lord's been gracious to give me that energy, but I am looking forward to that transition, to be able just to teach and beat the students and write and let somebody else worry about some of these things. But then I also want to mention our students, both alumni who are here tonight. Raise your hands, guys, alumni. And then our current students, raise your hands. I walked into the auditorium yesterday at Woodruff Road early in the morning, and there were our students vacuuming the floor, cleaning the bathroom, straightening up. I said, man, you see, a pastor has to be a deacon. Now, often at churches, when I was involved with students or whatever, I would watch which students are looking what needs to be done and serving, and which ones are over in the corner talking theology. And I want the ones that are out there looking at what needs to be done, because they're going to be the pastors that will be blessed of the Lord. So thank you all so much for tonight. And but for your friendship, some a long, long running friendship, others more recent, but all so precious. So that's the people from our church that are here from Woodruff Road. We were quite just overwhelmed by that. So thank you, and God bless you. And continue to pray for us and trust the Lord that he will use us for the very necessary revival and reformation. We were talking today, this afternoon, with Jim and Roger from South Africa and some of the men that came by the house. And it's true there and it's true here. Our cultures are past point of any simple incremental improvement. We are in the desperate need of a reformation of the church, revival, and a great awakening. And so we must, all of us, be praying for that and then labor for that in our respective callings and in our work together at these Reformed seminaries. And we're thankful for Westminster. They took a wonderful, brave stand. Pete Lilback was Mr. Valiant for Truth, and I praise God for that. And Chad is going to be going there. I think it's just wonderful. So, but thank you all very much. Zach, who's going to close in prayer? I am? Okay. Let us stand.
Okay. George One thinks what we should, and I agree with him. We're going to sing the doxology then after I pray. Almighty God, we bless you again, because to you alone belongs blessing, honor, glory, dominion, and power. You, Lord, are a great God. You are so kind and gentle and gracious, and you support us in the midst of our pilgrimage. And by your Spirit, you sustain us. But, Lord, you give us one another as well to sustain us. And we thank you. Well, we thank you for this night, a night that above all helps us to recognize your wonderful, gracious providence. We pray you will, though, bless the work of Greenville Seminary. Lord, keep her faithful, meet her needs, enable her to have the resources to move forward with very important things, Lord, that need to be done in these next 3 or 4 years. And we will give you all the glory and the honor. For Christ's sake, amen.
Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen. Thank you all.